Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, stop! What's up with that? What's up with that?
It is Jim, Matt, and Molly. Jason Wilde joins the show. I'm in for Jim Rutledge today. Jason, how's it going?
Great to be on Matt and Gravatt.
Hey!
How do we not think of that?
Let's
go!
I think Ryan and I might have toyed with that at one point. Gravatt or something like that. But it didn't quite feel right.
Matt and Gravatt sounds pretty good.
Matt and Gravatt. Well, thank you for pronouncing my last name appropriately.
I would like to make sure that I don't take credit for that. That was Wooly's idea. The fact that he didn't suggest it until he and I were just chatting is a little disappointing, but I think it's outstanding, and I can't wait for brand new imaging for the show since, you know, Molly's still in baby mode and Jimmy's under the weather. Hopefully he's back tomorrow, though.
I threw it out to Jim Rutledge, and he had only one response, Jason.
This is utterly preposterous that I've even heard that.
He just quoted Barry Alvarez to me. I couldn't really argue with that.
And honestly, if it just came from Ryan, it might not have been as impactful as coming from you. So I think Ryan knew that, and that's why he just put that bug in your ear.
Well, if I'm thinking of any instance of Barry Alvarez speaking out, it's him giving his thoughts on whatever Ben Brust might think.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I want to transition a little bit away from Barry Alvarez. Not that he's not fantastic, but if you listened to Wilde and Tausch, your show today from 9 to noon, you heard a fantastic conversation about all of the things that he said last night. You can check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Jason, today Jim Rutledge, or last night I should say, Jim Rutledge took my ID badge, which we used to get in and out of the office, and then went home and took a sick day. So I couldn't get into the office this morning when I tried. It's cold outside. Ooh. Jim Rutledge.
No, not who. Ooh.
Ooh, okay, got it. And I was curious, you work with two of the biggest personalities in the entire office, with the hall monitor and obviously Mark Tauscher. How do they get under your skin?
Well, first of all, Jesse's not a big personality.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Well, let's be honest. Secondly, I do work with some big personalities. Obviously, I talk to Ben twice a week. I obviously talk to Tausch every day. I work with Homer. That's a big personality for sure. I know there are those who might think I'm a little bit difficult to work with myself just because I am so demanding. But I can pretty much tolerate everything, at least professionally. So I can, you know, those guys don't really get under my skin. And when Tausch is grumpy, or if something's bothering him and it impacts how the program goes, that can be an issue. But beyond that, I very rarely have to tolerate anything from him. That's part of his charm.
Well, that's nice. I'm sure we've got some room to navigate here on this show for me figuring out when Jim Rutledge is grumpy over the Super Bowl. Very good example.
Chiefs win.
He was very grumpy during the Super Bowl, and we'll just leave it at that. Jason, I'm curious a little bit about, like, I hear all these rumors and all the people are saying, like, the Packers need this, like, Josh Jacobs saying we need a number one wide receiver. You got Keyshawn Nixon tweeting at Max Crosby and Devontae Adams.
And Devontae, yeah. So Love it.
What's happening? Is there any hope for the Packers to go out and sign a free agent? Or did we, to put it bluntly, blow our wad last year and we got to build from within?
Can you say that on the radio?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure, Jason, but nobody on the radio heard it, so we're good.
Well, when you say that, it's like it's spending your cash.
No, your that's not. Cash. That's,
yeah.
Okay, sure.
Like, Whew. Did we spend it all? Did we lose everything in our wallets last year on free agents?
That's better. That's better.
Or, and we're just stuck building from within this year.
You should ask it that way.
Oh, my God. You are one of one, and I think that we have me saying that on the open, but it's true. first of all, they have the cap wherewithal, if they so choose, to pursue basically whoever they want. They can make it work. So I don't think they're in a situation where their only option is to improve from within. Now, that was something, obviously, that Pausch and I talked about today, and you know, we'll talk to Rob Domofsky on Friday. He was the one who, for his three-word description of the offseason for the NFL Nation power rankings, chose improve from within. And I love Rob, and we've been friends for a really long time, but that doesn't mean we agree on everything. I don't think improve from within is sufficient, and I don't think Goody does either. And it doesn't really jibe with the idea of, oh, there's a greater sense of urgency, and they should be competing for championships. They need to augment the roster, and they need to do so beyond just their draft picks. Now, Tausch has been killing me for the last day and a half because he didn't understand the nuance of what I was saying or the fact that there are examples in recent Packers history. But, you know, you look at Zach Bond and the impact that he had on the Eagles on a one-year, $3.5 million deal. I mean, yes, obviously, to get a guy who was a first-team All-Pro for peanuts, for popcorn money, everyone would love to do that. That said, you know, Goody does have a history of finding some bargains. You know, now he made the mistake of re-signing one of them, and then he made the mistake of trading the other. But when he got the Devondre Campbell in June of 21 on a cheap deal, when the dude goes out and he's a first-team All-Pro, that's basically what Zach Bond did this year. So that was a great move. Now, it wasn't a great move to sign him to an extension. The same thing with plucking Rasul Douglas off the Cardinals practice squad. I mean, the Packers, he was a huge piece for them. And then they obviously traded him at the trade deadline in 2023, which I believe was a mistake. And if Goody drank some Coors Light or maybe some True Serum, he would agree. So my point is that they need to hit on some, you know, largely inexpensive guy. But then beyond that, they have the wherewithal to be able to spend on someone more expensive if they want to. The question is, who would that be? Now, I know that Davante Adams is at least open to the idea of coming back here. There are also other teams that could be interested in him as well. He's going to have a market. You know, it's not like Aaron Rodgers where you're not quite sure which teams might be interested. I would think there'd be a number of teams that would be interested in Davante. How much he's willing to play for, how much money will play into his decision of where he might go, that all is a factor. But so too is, does Goody want him back? Or is him returning to the Packers just a pipe dream for him and for Keyshawn Nixon and Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs? I don't know. But the bottom line is, there is nothing keeping the Packers from improving their roster from a financial standpoint that they can't do. That's just not true.
That makes me sad because I feel like they aren't going to do it. And when you tell me that
if they don't, Matt, then you can be irritated with that, right? And maybe they don't. Maybe I'm wrong. It's certainly, you know, Paula would tell you that happens all the time. but maybe they don't need it. Maybe my opinion is wrong. But I personally believe they need more than just a good draft class. They've had really good draft classes the last several years. I think 2022 is even starting to look even better with Quay Walker having played well for a good chunk of the season, with Devontae Wyatt starting strong, missing time with the ankle injury, and then kind of finding his way late in the year back to that early season form. And then obviously you got your starting tackles from that class. You got two wide receivers from that class. But remember, all those guys are entering the last year of their contracts. The two first-round picks obviously can get fifth-year options. But that was a good class. 23 was a good class. 24 was a good class. If they have a good 25 draft class, I'm still not sure that that's quite enough to improve them to be a Super Bowl team.
That's Jason Wilde. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Matt Hamilton. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, and we're talking a little bit about what the Packers need to do this offseason. You know, you mentioned that they have hit on a handful of these draft classes, and I agree. The youth movement has been, for the most part, successful, not a Super Bowl championship caliber team yet. But as I look at it, the two most impactful players that the Packers had last season, it feels like, were the free agents they brought in, Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. And then as you look at the continuation of this offseason, the people who are out there making the headlines, it's Josh Jacobs and largely kick returner extraordinaire, but cornerback one want to be. Oh my goodness, I'm blanking on his name. The kick returner.
Keyshawn Nixon.
Thank you. And those are the guys who are making the largest statements in making the headlines. Do the Packers need to have older players to be leaders in the locker room right now?
Well, I don't think you have to be older. I think you have to be experienced. And so Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, those guys have experience, right? Obviously, they're not old guys per se, but they are certainly experienced guys. Keyshawn Nixon now has much more experience. When he got here, he was largely an afterthought in Oakland/Las Vegas. And when he got here, he has steadily gotten a much, much larger role with each passing year. And now he's out there, you know, saying he's going to be CB1, and you don't kick, you don't return kicks when you're CB1. So, you know, those guys qualify. Let's remember, too, I mean, come on. You know, Jordan Love has to be a leader. You heard what Matt LaFleur said after the season in his season-ending press conference. Like, that's the biggest area where they are challenging him to step up. And so, you know, whether or not, you know, he's going to change his leadership style, I don't know. But the bottom line is that they need more from him than they've gotten in a leadership role, and he needs to step into that and be more effective. So I think they're fine in the leadership department. I don't think they necessarily have to go out and get veteran guys purely from a leadership standpoint. But certainly you want guys that are going to be productive and guys that are going to be able to then come in and take on a leadership role because they are looked upon as guys that you can emulate. Like, that, again, that's another bonus potentially of Davante Adams, right? I mean, the idea of having him on this team when none of these wide receivers have reached the point yet where you can say, okay, these guys are ready to really be top flight, you know, number one or number one-ish wide receivers. Nobody sees control of that. So if Davante Adams comes in, not only can he be that guy because he still has plenty left in the tank, but he can also help those other guys as they grow into that role. I mean, I always bring this up, but it's true. You know, all these guys that have become number ones in Green Bay, they are homegrown, and they weren't number ones immediately. It's not like when you draft Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson, and they're a number one wide receiver the minute they walk in the building. Throughout Packers history, they've all been guys, since really Sharp, who was a number one right away, but wasn't super productive as a rookie. Usually it takes some time for them to grow into that. And the guys they have now, they've asked them to basically accelerate their learning curve, and they haven't really responded or elevated to that point. So, you know, let's say you bring back Davante and he's kind of number one or number one-ish for the next 2 years, that gives time for these other guys, for a Dontavian Wicks, who's so similar to him in terms of his style of play, for a guy like Jaden Reed, for a guy like, you know, if they bring back Watson after a truncated season next year. I don't know what his contract will look like. I don't know how it's going to work, but he's not going to be available until November, I would think. So it'll be interesting to see what his 26 situation is. My point is that Davante Adams buys you some time and delivers some much needed leadership on a side of the ball where they don't have a lot of old guys.
I totally agree with you. And one factor that I notice when you say we have all these homegrown guys, all those homegrown guys that came up had a number one to look up to at some point before they became the number one, except, like you said, maybe Sterling. But like, you look at Davante Adams, Jennings and Jordy were on that team, and he got to get his feet wet as the three before he got to turn into the one. And I feel like that's what this particular group of young players, young wide receivers needs, is somebody who's like, is there taking some of that pressure off them while they're learning how to be that guy. Having an example of that guy that you want to aspire to be is nice to have on the same side of the same sideline as you.
Yeah, and look, that's what Devontae had in Jordy. That's what Jordy had in Greg Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Greg Jennings had in
Antonio Freeman,
Donald Driver. Right? That's what Donald Driver had in Antonio Freeman. That's what Antonio Freeman had in Robert Brooks. That's what Robert Brooks had in Sterling Sharpe. It's a whole lineage, and all of those guys had the opportunity to grow into that role. I mean, look, one of the biggest things Goody and I disagreed on was when he tried to convince me after he cut Jordy, and Jordy still went out and had 60 catches in Oakland with a new quarterback, was that the primary reason he moved on from Jordy was that he thought with Rodgers at quarterback, he would stunt Devontae's growth as the number one receiver. And during the 2017 season, before Rodgers broke his collarbone, it was clear to anyone who was paying attention that Devontae already was the number one wide receiver. And if anybody would be willing, in terms of their team-first personality, to let Devontae take that and not try and, you know, hold on to it tightly and not give it up, it's Jordy Nelson. And so I always thought that was a weak argument. And I think Devontae would be willing to do a similar thing for those guys to help them through that process as well.
All right, last thing for you, Jason, before we let you go. You said you don't agree with the three words that Rob Domofsky had in his all-too-early power ranking for the NFL 2025, improve from within. What are your three words for the Green Bay Packers this upcoming season?
Urgency above everything. I think Goody bringing that up publicly is such a major, I don't want to call it a red flag because it's not really that. It's more of a notification or putting guys on notice. Like, to me, that says that he got the feeling, and maybe Matt LaFleur did too, that when you have such a young team, there's a mentality of, oh, yeah, it would be great to win, but, you know, if we don't do it, there's always next year, and we're going to be even better next year. And I got the sense that that was Goody's frustration. So I really am curious to see if this group comes into next season playing as if, hey, this is our last hurrah. Because you know you saw that from the late Rodgers teams, because there were guys that were toward the end of their careers. Obviously, none of these guys are necessarily at the end of their careers, but they could be in the end of their Packers careers. Like, not everybody's going to get a second contract. So I'm very curious to see if there's that level of urgency, because that's exactly what this team needs. And it's not me saying it. It's the general manager saying it.
All right, Jason, thanks so much for your time.
Great again to be on Matt and Gravatt, and I can't wait for the new imaging. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
That was Jason Wilde from Wilde and Tausch. You can hear him 9 to noon every day with large personality Mark Tauscher and, I guess, medium personality Jason or Jesse Nelson. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light.
Whoa, Nelly!
You're listening live from St. John's, Newfoundland. The Newfies love Jim, Matt, and Molly. 100.5 ESPN Madison.